failure to comply, failure to be committed, failure to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. The Bible says at a time of ignorance, at a time of ignorance, that is where there may be for zeal but not according to knowledge, God winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. This morning I want to go to God's word in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And I want us to meditate on the word excuses. That is, when we fail to comply, we begin to give explanations. But those explanations, if it cannot be backed up with the authority of the Word of God, brethren, we need to comply and understand what is the will of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3, if we may. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we do patient and comfort of the scriptures, that we may have hope. Here in the book of Exodus, God had gave a command to Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. At this time in Moses' life, we see that Moses was about 80 years old. And Moses had been through some travail in his life and problems dealing with the Egyptians, living in the home of Pharaoh. But in the book of Exodus, I want to begin about verse 10. I want to read, if we may. And I want us to look at these five excuses this morning, and as we examine each one, who am I? What shall I say? Suppose that they would not believe me. I am slow of speech. And finally, he just plainly said, well, Lord, just send somebody else. How would this in our own life, as we look at these scriptures and understand these scriptures, affects us when we look at our spiritual well-being? Well, let's begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But verse 11, I want you to see what's being said. But Moses said to God, and I want you to underline what he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Number one, do I realize who we are when we use the phrase that I am a Christian? Do we really realize Romans 8 and verse 31, when the Bible plainly say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Who are you? Do we really understand that we can make a statement that when God tell us to do something, that we're going to say, who am I? Who am I that I cannot comply to the word of God, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our credentials or how much education that we have? Who am I? Brethren, the answer is, number one, that we are children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that certainly when God tells us to do something, that we're going to have the ability, that we're going to have the steadfastness, that when God speaks, that we will listen and do not utilize the insecurities of life to cause us to not dwell on the power of God. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to share a scripture with you. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. And I want you to see what the word of God is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and beginning in verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and start reading and verse number 5 and verse number 6. And I want you to mark that, because if we don't know who we are, if we don't know what our responsibility may be, we'll be in the same situation that Moses find himself in when God surely told him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And number two, that when God tells us to do something, he's not going to give us the ability not to be able to do it. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 5, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. See, we can't do it by ourselves. See, we need the help of God. Amen. See, without God, we are nothing. It makes no difference how much money you make. It makes no difference where you live. We need God every day. He says here, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See, what Moses failed to realize, that when God told him to go to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, it wasn't Moses going by himself, amen. It was God going with him. But look at verse number 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit, what I'm holding in my hand, see, it gives us life. It gives us security. It gives us a peace of mind. That if God tells you to do something, brother, you're not doing it by yourself. If you take this Spirit of the letter to give you the guidance, to give you the know-how, to give you the sufficiency to do God's will. The first mistake he made, that he trusted in himself. See, we can't trust in ourselves. We got to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we should never, when God tells us to do something in God's word, to say, well, who am I? Because God will never tell us to do something that he's not going to give us directions on how to do it if we go by the letter of the law. And not really, don't realize in our sufficiency, but realize the sufficiency based on the authority of the word of God. Number one, who am I? Brethren, we are nothing. We have nothing but filthy rags in the eyesight of God. But we can do all things through Christ. My God shall supply if we be led by Jesus, by the Spirit of the law. And quit being led based on what you think. Because sometimes you think and I think that because we go to school and get educated, that we need the education that gives us the guidance. But brethren, we are nothing if we're not led by God. That is to be able to trust in the sufficiency of God, to realize that when God tells us to do something, brother, I'm not going to look at Brother Fraser. I'm not going to look at my pocketbook. I'm not going to look at my home. But what I'm going to do, be led by the letter of the Spirit of the law, that is that I'm going to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's the thing that we need to understand in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. In the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible talks about these apostles being unlearned and ignorant men. They were unlearned, but they were ignorant. But the Bible said because of the boldness, because they looked unto Jesus. See, they were bold. They stood on Jesus. See, it wasn't based on how much education. It wasn't based on how ignorant they were. They were led by the Spirit. And see, what we need to do is quit looking around at worldly things and look unto Jesus, that is, they're going to give us the boldness to put on the whole armor of God to be able to fight the wiles of the devil. So when God comes, like he told Moses, Moses, go, Moses, go, Moses, go. Moses didn't say, well, Lord, who am I? Who am I? We are Christians, amen. And that's the thing that we need to realize if we're going to be well pleasing and acceptable to God. Point number two, he said, not only who am I, but verse 13, the Bible says, what shall I say? Look at verse 13. The Bible says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say, what is his name? Look what he says here. What shall I say to them? You know, it's good, and I thank God for it every day for my love letter. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What shall we say? Well, brethren, the only thing that you can say, what is in the book. People ask you a question, what must you do to be saved? Well, you can't say but one thing. What Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What shall you say when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Matthew 19:9, Matthew 5:31. When you talk, ask the question, what shall we say? Well, you say what's in the book. You can't say nothing but what's in the book. These are our marching orders. That is, that when we realize who we are, that we are led not by our sufficiency, but by the sufficiency of God. Number two, we realize that what we say, how we live, to be a light bearer, to be those written epistles, written and read in the heart of all men. That's what the problem with the world today. That's the reason why Paul said, when I depart, greedy wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock, speaking perverse doctrine to draw disciples after them, because people are saying too much and not telling them what God says to say. What shall we say? What gives you the right to supersede what God has said? That should never even be a question. To say, well, what shall I say? See, we use these excuses today to do what we want to do when we want to do, when we add to or when we take away from God's word. Preachers say, well, I got the liberty. It's your will versus God's will. But our mentality, our mindset should be not what I want, not what my will is, but what is the will of God, that when God tells me to go, see, I say what's in the book. He should have known that. When God told him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, God wasn't going to let him go by himself. God was going to be with him. And it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, my brethren. When God tell you to do something, when God tell me to do something, God not going to leave us out there by ourselves. That's the reason why we have the royal law, that perfect law of liberty, that it gives us direction, it gives us light, it points us in the right direction to be able to know, to be able to know what to say. So that we won't be like Moses to say, what shall I say? What shall I say? Point number three, see, when we continue to make excuses, see, it gets bigger and it gets badder. See, not only did he not realize who he were, he not realized what to say. But look at them at verse 14. The Bible says, he says, they will not believe me. Now I'm going to stop. And the reason why I'm going to stop is because when you tell people the truth, people don't want to hear truth. But in verse 14, the Bible says, And God said to Moses that I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am that has sent me to you. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. But I want to continue reading. Because see, when God gives you direction to tell you what to say, Romans 1:16, the Bible also says he's going to give you power to understand and do what the will of the Lord says. So he said, well, they won't believe me. See, they won't believe me in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. But go to chapter 4 right quick. Because see, let me tell you something. When you realize who you are, and don't trust in self, but look unto Jesus. He's going to give us directions in our life that the word of God going to stand when everything else falls. Regardless of what people believe or whether people believe not. But he didn't leave us here with not being able to put on the whole armor of God that we may fight the wiles of the devil. This book that I'm holding is the power of the word of God, Romans 1:16. Because see, not only did God tell him when he said, well, they won't believe him, but God gave him three examples. All right? And it's found in Exodus 4. Moses, what you holding in your hand? Amen. Look what he says. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand. All right? We'll start reading verse 1, I'm sorry. It is Moses asked and said, but suppose they would not believe me. Listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. And so the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and it caught it, and it became a rod back into his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God our Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto you. But let me continue to read, because I'm showing you power of God. That when we listen to God and we do what God tells you to do, he gives you the power to make people believe. He says in verse 6, furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in the bosom. And when it took out, it behold, his hand was leprous like so. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it restored like his other flesh. But look at verse 8. He said, then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign, it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, he said, that you shall take water from the river, and when you pour it on dry ground, the water with which you take from the river will become blood on dry ground. Now, let me explain it to you, in case some of you missed it. We serve an awesome God. Sometimes you just don't realize what we got if we fully comply. Moses, I am who I am. Moses, what you holding in your hand, Moses? See, God works in our life, amen. Through the power of the word of God. That's what growing in the grace and knowledge. That's what matured and perfected, that we may grow, that we may entire and want nothing through the power of the word of God if the word of God is utilized. See, God had to show him that he was God and that he is God. But the question is, do you believe? Do you believe? But see, he had to show him To the rod become a snake. He put his hand in his bosom. It became leprosy. He said, if they don't believe these two, take the water, pour it on dry ground. It going to turn to blood. See, God is showing us that through the power of the word of God, everything going to be all right. But some of you still don't believe. Because see, if you go on and look what's being said here, he finally said, look here in 14. He said, yeah, I saw that. I saw that rod turn to snake, hand turn to leprosy, water when I pulled it on dry ground, turned to blood. But look at verse 10. He had the audacity to finally say in 14. He says here, then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not eloquent, neither before nor since have you spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Well, the question that I asked, what did that have to do with it? What did that have to do with it? See, sometimes in life, we're going to make excuses for not coming to Bible class. We're going to make excuses for not praying without ceasing. We're going to make excuses for not studying God's word. But in the bottom line, God going to win every time. Every time. For a failure not to be able to trust in God and to let God's word be done in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Go in the book of 1 Corinthians 2. I want to share scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to share something with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse number 3 and 4. Because see, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read all the way down to verse 4. He says, and our brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, said Jesus, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but look what he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. See, a lot of you are afraid to get up and do something because you're scared what other people are going to think. See, it's not what other people think. It's what God thinks in relationship to how well you comply. Was God concerned how well Moses could talk? Was God concerned whether they believed or not? Was God concerned what he said, as long as he complied with what God said? See, the only thing that God wanted him to do was go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. See, a long time we block our blessings because we worry about what other people are going to say. You fear, you tremble, and you worry about things that literally don't have no what? Control over anyway. As long as you do what God tells you to do. But look at verse number 4. But our life be in demonstration, and I got to underline in my Bible, of the Spirit and the power, that is the power that I get from the Spirit of God, that I might not can't talk well, I might not can't sing well, I might not can't pray well, but through the Spirit, I'm going to have the power to do God's will when I comply to what God tells me to do. And then finally, he just should have did this from the beginning. He didn't have to say, who am I? He didn't have to say, I don't know what to say. He didn't have to say, they won't believe me. He didn't have to say, I'm slow of speech. He just could have said in verse 14, he just could have said, Lord, just send somebody else. I just don't want to do it. Quit playing with God. If you don't want to do it, just say you don't want to do it, amen? If you don't want to come to Bible class, stand up and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. If you, Allah, you can't make me pray. Allah, you can't make me study. I know, but quit sitting up here and making excuses about what you don't want to do because you fail to comply with what God told you to do, what it may be, who am I? They won't believe me. I mean, I don't know. See, quit making excuses. And rely on the Spirit and the power of the demonstration of the Word of God. Because see, ain't nothing to be afraid of. You ain't got to tremble. I was telling somebody the other day, I believe it was Quint. I said, you know, I still have butterflies when I get up here. He said, no, you don't. Not the way you up there preaching. It's just human nature. I'd be sitting over there, y'all think I'd be fine. Sometimes I'd be just as scared. And I do it every Sunday. Because that's the human element. But if I rely on the human element instead of relying on the Spirit and the power of God, realize it's not me, but it's God that works through me, through His Spirit, that gives me the ability to be able to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. See, it's not me, it's the Word of God. See, that gives me the power. That I can realize. And all that Moses had to say with Kenny Frazier, well, Lord, just send somebody else. He didn't have to make all those excuses. And same way in life. Because the Bible said God would not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. So in conclusion, brethren, we know the rest of the story. And the question that we asked him, will you use or will I use excuses to not to be able to comply to the Word of God? If you be here today and you're not a child of God, and you be here today and you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian, not but one way to come. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here today and want to be saved, you got to be baptized in order to be saved. If you're here today and you need to be prayed for, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Come right now as we stand and we sing.